Izamit Carr, and I'm Telly Concepcion, and together we are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. We go beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. So come learn, grow, and have some fun with us. We are Beyond the Numbers Podcast.
On today's episode, the guys go beyond the numbers of the 2020 NFL Conference Championship round of the playoffs and preview Super Bowl 55 in Tampa Bay, Florida, which pits the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Kansas City Chiefs, Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT against the kid. And for those of you who don't know, that's what you call a baby goat. Time will tell. But first, their numbers of the day.
My number of the day is 48%. More precisely, 47.6. Tom Brady has made the Super Bowl in 10 of his 21 NFL seasons. That's 47.6% of the time. Steph Curry's career three-point percentage is 43%. That means Tom Brady is more likely to make it to the Super Bowl than Steph Curry is to make a three. We promised you here that we would go beyond the numbers, and that is a heck of a number.
It truly is. What a wild, wild stat for him. My number of the day is one. Sarah Thomas will become the first woman to officiate a Super Bowl. She started her career in 1999, calling varsity high school football games. In 2007, she became the first woman to officiate a major college football game. In 2015, she became the first female hired as a full-time NFL official of any type. And in 2019, she became the first on-field female official in an NFL playoff game. And of course, now as we head into 2021 and into the Super Bowl, she makes the jump to officiating a Super Bowl and being the first woman to do so.
Before the business, Beyonders, it's time for Before the Business, where we answer your unanswered questions and find the numbers that went unfound in previous episodes. So today we have to acknowledge, Amit, the one-year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bean Bryant and his daughter Gianna Bryant. It's of huge significance, not only because the world lost someone very special. We obviously know the basketball skills. We know that he was very progressive in pushing for the WNBA and for women to get more involved in the game. He was teaching about the game. He was producing documentaries and getting into movies, etc. Amit. So the world lost someone very special. For this podcast, for Beyond the Numbers podcast, for Amit and I, when it happened, we texted each other. We didn't even believe that it happened, and we were already scheduled that week to have our first recorded conversation to start this podcast. So we would be remiss if we didn't mention the one-year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant, which coincides with the one-year anniversary of this Beyond the Numbers podcast.
Now, as we talk about Kobe and Gianna, we don't want to forget the other eight that were also on that helicopter making that trip with them. It was an interesting time. I remember I had just landed in Chicago and I got the notification that it happened. So it was kind of surreal.
Yeah, and we still have that conversation. It's still recorded. It's still sitting in the archives, but we just didn't feel it was appropriate to start the podcast with that. And it was somber. You know, it touched us. It was big. That's a big loss. So rest in peace, Kobe, Gianna, and the others that were lost that day. Now let's get back to the business. It's time for our new segment, NFL Nuggets, where we go beyond the numbers and bring you the stories within the story of the stories that matter within the NFL. NFL NFL nuggets beyond the numbers of week 20 in the NFL Conference Championship Week edition. I've said it once, I've said it many times. I'm just a kid from Tampa Bay, Florida. I got to watch my Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. I got to watch my Tampa Bay Rays get to the World Series and win it. If not for the Dodgers cheating and having COVID positive folks play in the game, now I get to watch my Tampa Bay Bucks play in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. You see my shirt. I know we're recording this audio for the folks. We're recording this video. I got my shirt on. It's crazy right now, man. I'm just a kid from Tampa Bay, Florida. That's all I gotta say, man.
Every time you say that, I just hear LeBron say, "I'm just a kid from Akron." That's all I hear. Here's my question to you, Telly. Is just making it to that championship game enough for you? Is that enough for that Tampa Bay pride? So how do you feel if they go 1-for-3 in championship games? Is that okay?
Let me put my fan hat on. Let me put my resident of Tampa Bay, although I'm living out here in Silicon Valley, California right now. Look.
You hear that, IRS? You hear that?
Yeah, that's right. Trust me, I'm getting taxed. I'm getting California taxed. Trust me. Look, is going 1-3 in championship games okay? Let's take the other side of that coin. Is finishing top two in three different sports during a pandemic and getting a chance to win the Super Bowl in your home stadium in front of your home crowd okay? I'll take that. I would take that because we got to watch the Rays grow up a lot this season. They got some much deserved love and attention on the team, take on the Giants from LA. We got to watch the Tampa Bay Lightning quarantine. Remember, we talked about them falling short last year. We talked about them getting the most points in NHL history, only to get swept in the first round and coming back this year and winning it all. So now we're talking about the Tampa Bay Bucks, the revamped Bucks, with the addition of Tom Brady and Gronk and Antonio Brown, making it to the Super Bowl, never been done before in their home stadium. I'll take that. The people of Tampa Bay will take that. Shouts out to Matt Ayotte in Tampa. Shouts out to all the people in Tampa. They know who they are. They listen every week. We love y'all.
You're happy to be there. Home team, first time ever.
What else would we be excited about? Not making it to the championships. Like LeBron said, that's fair. You want to be excited about getting there, getting a chance. And you know what it does most of all? It shine a light on Tampa Bay. The Raptors are playing there this year. It's a great city with great people and great fans. It's on the water. You and I talked about this. That's the retirement plan. I know Barbara, your wife, you and my fiance, that's our retirement plan. Tampa, get a house on the water. People are getting to see how great, how special this area is. It's just sad and it breaks my heart. COVID-19, I can't be there. I couldn't go to the World Series. You know, we would have got cheap tickets. We would have been at the World Series games. The Super Bowl is there. My mom lives less than 5 minutes away from Raymond James Stadium. We've all met. You, I, and our friends have met there and then just drove to the stadium for a game and drove back home. So it just hurts not being able to participate in all the fun stuff that comes with the Super Bowl. There's the Super Bowl experience. The guys from both teams are hanging out around the city usually all week. They have little parades. You know, Tampa comes with it with Gasparilla. Shouts out to Jenna Lane Bucks. Jenna Lane, you know, we hang out with Jenna for Gasparilla. That's not going to take place. And I hope when the Bucks win, people of Tampa, please keep your mask on, social distance. We're trying to beat this virus. And that is going to be so dangerous to have a home team. Imagine if your Giants won it in New York City, Amit. And then they just drove across the bridge and shut down Times Square for a couple of hours right after the game. Not like 2 weeks later, let's have a parade.
Yeah, it's crazy enough 2 or 3 days later. So yeah, if it was that night, that'd be insane. But before we get to the Super Bowl, we need to talk about the conference championship game. So
we didn't even start, man. You got me hyped.
So let's hit up that Bucks and Packers game first.
So the Bucks at the Packers, obviously my Bucks win 31-26. This will be the Bucks' second Super Bowl appearance. And this paired up the oldest quarterback matchup in conference championships history. Tom Brady at 43, Aaron Rodgers at 37. The Bucs became the first non-division champion to reach the Super Bowl since the 2010 Packers, Amit. And just a little bit about Thomas here. We've called him Thomas all season because with age, you get the full name, you get the business, you get that Thomas. Thomas would be the fourth quarterback NFL championship to start in a Super Bowl or a championship for two franchises. Craig Morton did it for the Cowboys and Broncos. Kurt Warner did it for the Rams and Cardinals. Peyton Manning did it for the Colts and Broncos. And Tom Brady did it for the Patriots and now the Bucks. He'll be the third quarterback to play in the Super Bowl or the championship game in three different decades. Norm Van Brocklin and Johnny Unitas are the others. Also, specifically to this game, Mommy, he's the third player with three passing touchdowns and three interceptions in the conference championship game, and we will break that down. He joins Mark Malone and Joe Montana, and also he will equal LeBron James for championship trips since 1990. This will be his 10th title game in 30 seasons, and as we said at the top, as my number of the day, he's been under center for 48% of the Super Bowls played since entering the NFL. But what was the key to this game, Amit? That's the question you asked me. What was the key? It definitely was not Tom Brady, right? His first half, raw QBR, that's quarterback rating, was 94.8. His second half, 7.2.
The man threw three, not one, not two, but three interceptions in the second half. The second half, this is the half where Tom Brady brings his best, right? Second half of a championship game, game's on the line, you hand it to this man. He threw three picks.
So if it wasn't Tom Brady, and if Aaron Rodgers didn't come out with the win, then what was the story of this conference championship game? And I've told you time and time again, Beyonders, defense wins championships. And we were texting in a thread, Amit. I told you guys the defense has to come with it on either team, and the next score was gonna win. So after Green Bay cut the score to 28-23, their next drives ended in a punt and a field goal. That's when I texted the group, next score wins, and the Bucks ended up driving down the field and getting a field goal there. The Bucs defense, 5 sacks, 4 pass deflections, 8 QB hits, a fumble recovery, and an interception. They've scored 35 points off 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. But let's drill down on what the story of the game really was about, Amit, because really it came down to, like we talk about, there's a couple of plays in a game that break a game wide open one way or the other. And the story of the game to me came down 8. The Packers chose to kick a field goal on 4th and goal with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left when they have the MVP and the best quarterback in the league, and they're at home with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So the decision-making here, Amit, was what? You play probabilities. At Google, we made data-driven decisions. How did any model come up with kick in that situation? Green Bay scored a touchdown there. They had a 90.5% go-to-go drives. That's how great they've been in the red zone this season. They were 2nd in the NFL. ESPN's win probability had them at a 10% if they go for the touchdown and only 9.5% if they kick the field goal. And you have to consider, what is the downside there, Amit, of going for it? If you don't get it, is anybody getting mad at you that you tried on 4th and goal with Aaron Rodgers? Is anybody gonna say, yo, 2 minutes left and this guy's, they should have kicked the field goal and not go for it? No chance anyone comes back with that argument.
It's tough because you took the ball out of the hands of your best player. And I think that's what people are mad about, right? You step away from the numbers and the probability and you say, you got the MVP of the league, he's right there, you give him the chance.
And not only that, Amit, but at the same time, you're taking that ball out of your best player's hands, Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer, MVP of the league, threw less than 8 picks, threw almost 50 touchdown passes, and whose hands are you putting it into? You're giving the ball to the GOAT, to Tom Brady, with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left on the clock. And the lead, all he has to do is get a couple of first downs. He doesn't have to score. He doesn't have to get a two-point. All he has to do is milk the clock, and you're going to give it to the guy that's been to 9 Super Bowls with 2 minutes, 5 seconds left. You're losing. Here, take the ball. The guy that's been to 9 Super Bowls, and we think we'll get it back and win this game? That makes no sense at all. Like you said, you make data-driven decisions, but you have to consider who's on the field, who you have, and how the game is going. And to that point, I felt like you have to take the chance, if you're the Packers there, to try to score, because things have not been going your way for the majority of this game, and they started to take momentum here.
Yeah, and this one, when you look at just the overall game stats, Green Bay had more first downs, 23-19. More total plays, makes sense. They had more total yards. They had an equal amount of drives, right? They had more passing yards. They had less rushing yards by 9 yards, and they had less turnovers, and their time of possession was more. Tampa Bay had the ball 25 minutes, a little over 25 minutes. Green Bay had the ball a little over 34 minutes. So when it comes to all of those numbers and metrics, you would think Green Bay is winning this game, especially with those turnovers, but not how it played out.
They only scored 6 points off of Tom Brady's 3 interceptions. And the plays that really were of note, Amit, if you really think about it, right? The game starts. The Bucs throw a deep pass to Mike Evans in the end zone, easy. Then Aaron Rodgers equalizes it with that long pass to Valdes-Scantling. I think it was a 50-60 yard, ends up being a 50 or 60 yard touchdown, right? Then the Bucs were stopped, and on third down, Tom Brady throws it to the middle of the field to Chris Godwin, who bobbles it and then comes down with the catch in the middle. So they had him stopped on third and long there. They let Tom Brady and the Bucs get the first down there. And then Leonard Fournette runs it in to the right side of the end zone, spinning through the defense. And I believe it was almost a 20-yard run. Then before halftime, Green Bay couldn't do anything. We get the ball back on 4th and 3. Before halftime, we hand it off to Leonard Fournette for the first down with 8 seconds left. Amit, 8 seconds. You know what they tell us as corners? You don't let anybody get behind you, because don't, if you give you up the field goal there, you're okay. Guess what happens? 8 seconds left. Scotty Miller, back left of the end zone. King let him get behind him, and that made it an 11-point lead going into halftime.
That's the difference in this game. That was the real change.
And that's where you see the execution between, this is for a trip to the Super Bowl, we're going for the touchdown here, right, to swing the game and swing the momentum of the game, and not playing it safe, and with 8 seconds left, just kicking the field goal or taking a knee to go into halftime. Those are the risks you have to take to get to the Super Bowl. And to take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand, there's no way I do that. I'm a Bucs fan, you know that. But I'm also a football fan, and there's no way in that situation I'm taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand. Let's go back and look. On second down, Aaron Rodgers could have ran it in the end zone. Nobody would have touched him. Doesn't, because they're only targeting Adams. And that's the issue. You cannot target one player in the red zone. Offense becomes much more difficult in the red zone. You have less room and less yardage to operate with. So Aaron Rodgers could have ran it. No, he wanted to get the ball to Adams. The Bucs snuffed that out. On third down, Aaron Rodgers could have run it. Would he have scored there? No. I think the linebackers would have crashed on him, but he would have got it to the second or third yard line. So it would have made it 4th and 2 or 4th and 3 there. They don't do it. Then they kick the field goal. You're trying to go to the Super Bowl here. This isn't a regular season game. You got to play to win. You know the quote they play all the time. You got to play the game to win. And the Packers were not playing this game to win. Defense wins championships. And I think that's really what this game came down to, decision-making and defense. So Adam Jones got knocked out of the game. Whitehead produced the fumble. The Bucs punched that in. And then to end the game, I know you guys had texted me about this, the pass interference call under a minute, where the Bucs had the ball, and it was definitely pass interference, my friend. And although the refs weren't calling it the
all
whole
night
day,
yeah. So that's my point. It.
The difference was, and the reason I brought this up, because I made this note. I play DB. There is a lot of hands and a lot of touching when you play DB. Every play, run it back, and you can look at every receiver and every DB. The difference here is, yes, I agree with you, they let it go most of the game. But if you notice, everything they let go was above the shoulder pads. And when you pull from the shoulders, it's harder to see. And we're taught that you hug around the waist and you pull on the shoulder pads to feel where the receiver is and try to get a feel of what route he's running. The issue is that King, the same guy, I feel bad for King because he got burnt by Scotty Miller and he got burnt on this play. He pulled the shirt, not once, but twice with both hands. And when you pull a shirt, it stretches. And when a shirt stretches, you can see it. There's no way that the refs could pull that flag because you could clearly see the holding on the shirt.
It was the right call, but it was a call they didn't make all night. I would say this. Was
not
that
on
pass
the shirt. Shoulder was pad, that, not shirt.
My question is, does the pass have to be catchable for you to call offensive or for defensive pass interference?
It depends if you impede the route.
Was the ball route. Anywhere? Was the ball anywhere near him catching it?
It was high.
Your answer is going to be no. Your answer.
But if you look at Brady, near. Brady threw it for the flag. The only reason Brady threw that ball was to get the flag. If you watch the way he threw it, was like in the area to get the flag, and that's what the greats do. Aaron Rodgers is the best at that. He'll throw a ball somewhere near the receiver just so the ref can call the pass interference. They call hike when there's 12 men on the field so the defense can't get adjusted.
Of course.
Can't run on the field and get set. That's what the greats do, and that's really part of the difference here. Tom Brady saw it. He threw the ball. Let's say they don't get the pass interference there. It's still Bucks ball. The Bucks still have two downs to do something with it because that was on third.
So they would have to go
for it. It was on third. So they go for it on fourth. Okay. Green Bay would still need
the
ball
back. Green
Bay
would just have to score.
And they'd still have to score.
But here's the deal. I'm going to give you one thought. If that was the Bucks, or not, if that wasn't the Bucks, if that was Tom Brady on the Patriots and he was playing your Bucks and you saw that play at the end, you're lying to me if you don't tell me that your thought process is, see, the NFL wants Brady to go. He wants Brady to go. We have Aaron Rodgers, the best player on our team. He was going to march down.
Do I have my analyst exactly. hat on Get or do I have my fan hat on?
You have your fan
analyst
hat on.
With the fan hat, I would be complaining about it. But as an analyst, look, in all seriousness, as an analyst, I played corner. I tell you, most plays at corner have some sort of holding, grabbing, and it depends on what the refs call. The issue is that King grabbed the shirt. It's his mistake. They let you grab the jersey. The refs told you, we're going to let y'all grab the jersey at the shoulder pad all day. You adjust just like you used to pitch. And you know the strike zone. If the ump's calling it inside, you know you can get away with throwing it inside or outside the strike zone a little bit. And that night it's a strike, not every night. So we know as a corner, you know, look, they're not calling when you grab the shoulder pad or the jersey up top. They're letting you hand fight a little past 5 yards. But when you grab with two hands the shirt and we can see the shirt got stretched out of the uniform, you cannot not make that call. Yep. You can't. Yep. You can't not make that
no,
call.
No, you're fine. I would say it was the right call, although I would still say the pass was uncatchable, so it's not the right call. But either way,
I would
right
say
call.
I feel bad for King because it just wasn't his night because he gave up the touchdown to Scotty Miller, and also he got the pass interference called on him there. And I'll tell you why that happened, because he was caught out of position. He never should have given inside leverage on that slant route. You know what's coming, right? So you have to impede the route. You have to jam at the line. And if he would have done that, it never would have came down to a pass interference call. But that's going a little bit beyond the game. The reason the call was made is because he was out of position. And I could guarantee you that's what his coach was telling him when they review the film for this game. He was out of position and he put himself in a bad spot. Whether or not that gets called, he put himself in a bad spot and he lost that matchup. Because we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers, that bad man, all season long. We've been talking about him on every episode of Beyond the Numbers podcast on NFL Nuggets. We've listed the stats to you. We know this man's got the skills, but what is going on? Why is it not getting done? Aaron Rodgers has become the first quarterback to lose four straight conference title games since 1970. That's the Super Bowl era. And he came out after Amit looking like Thug Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? He had the black hat on, pulled down real low. He had a black bandana tied around his neck, you know, thug life. And when asked, He said, I really don't know what's next, and I'm going to have to take time to figure it out. He also said, I didn't have a decision on that one, referring to not going for it on fourth down. He let me call the third down play, but I thought I would have a chance to go for it on fourth. In my opinion, you let Aaron Rodgers call really whatever he wants at that point in the game. Y'all are about the same age, and I would think the quarterback would have a little more power or leverage or say in that situation. I also found it very interesting that in the red zone, as we mentioned before, they were only targeting Lavonte Adams. And when you do that, Ahmed, trust me, when you play the game, you cannot just put it on one player, because you can hone in on that player and take it away. Aaron could have run it. He had a clear path to score there. So I think his decision making is better than that. So I'm not sure why he was only targeting one person in the red zone.
I got a quick question for you, because I don't want to wait till next week. Who is Lavonte Adams? I know Devontae Adams.
Devontae.
But I just wanted to be sure we knew who we were talking about as we talk about their one
he
target.
He got the L. He took the L, and now he's got an L. So it's Lavonte.
I see.
When you win, it's Devontae. So, you know, he took the L. It's Lavonte.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers.
I think that O-line play definitely had a big impact. You know, I think Rodgers got sacked 5 times.
Ahmed? Is it that? Or are the Bucks Aaron Rodgers' kryptonite? Because Aaron Rodgers this year threw 3 interceptions to the Bucks, and he threw only 3 interceptions to all other teams in the NFL. So, Ahmed, that game really came down to defense and really decision-making, and we could say that the veteran coach got the better of the younger coach. I mean, how you not use your MVP quarterback in that situation to get you the touchdown, that's a head-scratcher right there. And then the press conference after was even more confusing, where he said, yeah, I stand by my decision. We just didn't get it done.
If you think about it, if they didn't have that pass interference call, they get the ball back with a minute 38.
Yeah, but like we said, they took the L, so we'll talk about the other game. Speaking of L's, we got to talk about this Bills and Chiefs game. 38-24, Chiefs win.
Yeah, but that game was not as close as that score makes it look like. The Bills may have scored the first 9 points, but pretty much the Chiefs dominated from that point onward.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out, my friend, that you had the Bills winning this game, and you had the Packers winning the first game. So that's an 0-for. That's an 0-for-2, man. I'm catching up. I know you
usually got
the picks on here. I was 2-0 last week, because there was no way that Patrick Mahomes was hurt. And, you know, I'm just thinking, like, that's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes and bet against Tom Brady. This gives the Chiefs their 4th Super Bowl appearance. They are the 14th defending Super Bowl champion to return to the Super Bowl, and they're going for a repeat, Ahmed. And no one has repeated since Thomas in the 03-04 Patriots.
It's a young Thomas.
Young Thomas, when he used to eat strawberries.
He was still Tom at that point.
He was still Tom. That's right. He's Thomas now. He was still Tom at that point. Tommy from the block, is that what they say?
No.
I'm still Tommy from the block.
Nope. See, that's going to be in my head now. That's not okay.
So, Patrick Mahomes, I told you that he was not hurt. Beyonders, I told y'all he wasn't hurt. I told y'all he was going to play in this game. I told y'all after that footage of him not being able to get up off the ground and him stumbling around and people thinking something was seriously wrong, he was out to prove the doubters wrong in this game. Patrick Mahomes is 35-7 in 42 career starts. His stats in this game: 29 of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Here is a stat for you, Ahmed, beyond the numbers stat. On play action, he went 14 for 14 for 208 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. That's the most play action completion in any postseason game since 2006. And that's the most play action completions of Patrick Mahomes' career in any game.
Yeah, those are wild numbers. I'm sure you're very excited to be facing him in the Super Bowl.
No, of course not. But look, you just, I mean, we can get in, we're going to get into our Super Bowl view, the numbers of the Super Bowl and the teams matching up. But I'll stick to this game and then I'll give you my thoughts about the Super Bowl. So really here, what was the action, right? Like what took place during this game? It was 3-0. The Bills are up, Amit, and Josh Allen, and took like a 40-yard loss sack for no reason.
That's more of like a old Eli or current Daniel Jones. Instead of getting sacked, you're just running around, and then you finally get hit. You go from second and 15 to third and 47. Like what just happened?
He had the chance there, right, to throw it away. He had like 10 chances before hitting the ground to throw it away, to just throw it out of bounds. And again, I'll go back to the quarterback that played for Washington. I told you, just the decision making that he had for not being a draft pick was tremendous. So the Bills are forced to punt. It's 3-0. Hardman muffs the punt, Amit. It goes into the end zone, and the Bills would score right there. And it's crazy to think, right? So the game is now 9-0, and everyone's thinking the Bills are in control of this game. Their defense hasn't done anything. Their offense hasn't really done anything. Nevertheless, it's a 9-0 game. Mecole Hardman muffed the punt. He would make his presence felt throughout the game, because the very next possession he had a touchdown, basically running it to the same spot he fumbled the ball, and then he had a 62-yard run to get them close. They scored on that, and the game flipped from 9-0 to 14-9 in the blink of an eye.
It went quick, and you know the biggest piece of this is for a guy like Hardman, right, young player. You make such a big mistake early SEC. On in a championship game. And then what did they do? They just kept going right back to him, right? Like that's the level of confidence you want from your offensive coordinator, from your team, right? It's easy to say, all right, you dropped it, you screwed up. You potentially have put us in a hole we can't get out of. I'm done going to you. I've got two other guys. We're good. That was not the case. And they kept going to him, and he kept coming through when they needed him to.
Yeah, and I like that they went right back to him, because like you said, it shows that confidence. And also it's like a shake it off, young buck. Like, come on. And you could see after that happened, Patrick Mahomes went up to him on the bench and he said, don't worry about it. Shake it off. We're good. So there was nothing to worry about there. Kansas City, Amit, in the second quarter, 18 plays, 164 yards, 11 first down, and 21 points. They outscored the Bills 31-6 over the second and third quarters after the Bills took the 9-0 lead, and they stopped the Bills twice inside the 10-yard line. Like I said, defense wins championships, because you can score all the times you want, but the Kansas City Chiefs defense forced two field goals inside the 10-yard line, wore the Bills down, and then the game got away from the Bills. And Amit, you and I talked about it. You are not beating the Kansas City Chiefs. You are not beating the most explosive offense in the league, kicking field goals in the red zone.
That is not an option. You cannot trade sevens for threes. You can't do it. Let's be honest. To your point, he was not hurt. Mahomes could not be contained. Even when they got pressure on him and they got to him, he still managed to squeeze out some pretty large passes with those different throwing arm slots that he always utilizes. You know, that lower side arm, that three quarter. It's just watching him back there is wild, because it just doesn't seem like he's playing a different game from everyone else.
Yeah, he looks like the arm slotting of the Tampa Bay Rays. Remember that clock that they showed with all the guys in the bullpen from all the way from 9 o'clock to 3 p.m. from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and they had arm slots in each of those slots. Patrick Mahomes can make all of those throws. He can do it on the run. He can do it standing still. And as we call him on the podcast, Amit, Would you say that he's money? That dude is money.
Money Mahomes.
Money Mahomes. So the most spectacular play, Ahmed, of the game was the 71-yard run. That was a total of 121 yards run where Tyreek Hill reached top speeds of 20.8 miles per hour during the run. And I thought he was going to score. And I think he just got tired.
I did too. I did not think anyone was going to be able to catch him on that play.
Tyreek Hill was incredible during the game. So the most receiving yards over a two-game span in a single postseason. Fred Biletnikoff and Darren Wells with the Oakland Raiders in 1968.
Solid with the Biletnikoff. Very well done.
Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman from New England Patriots 2016. 530 yards. And you know that was from Thomas. Right behind them, Money Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, 2020, this past weekend. They've combined for 509 of the Chiefs' 646 receiving yards this postseason. That accounts for 79% of the whole team's receiving yards. They're the first duo with 100 or more receiving yards each in multiple playoff games, and they've both accomplished that feat in the last two games.
Yeah, and when you talk about Tyreek Hill, since 2016, Tyreek Hill has 19 50 or more yard touchdowns, which ranks him number one in the NFL in that time frame. Number two on that list, Derrick Henry with 11, and number three is DeSean Jackson with 8. So really, he's got as many as number two and three combined in that time frame. It's wild. His speed is incredible. And then Travis Kelce, man, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5th career 100-yard game, 100-yard receiving game in the postseason, which broke a tie with Gronk, Vernon Davis, and Keith Jackson for the most by a tight end in history. He had 9 catches in the first half, which is most by a tight end in the first half of a playoff game since 1991. Between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that is a nasty combination of options.
Dude, they are sick. They are sick. But Ahmed, I gotta ask one more time. You really thought the Bills was gonna beat this team? You thought Josh Allen on the road was gonna beat this Chiefs team?
Any given Sunday, my friend.
Man, not this Sunday. Any not with a trip to the Super Bowl Sunday. On the line. No. And we talked about it. I want to talk about it because I
question.
Told you.
Here's my
Josh
question.
Allen is still learning, right? So he has to take his lumps. And we commend Bills Mafia. And we commend the Browns. And they had excellent seasons. And this is not knocks against them. They were both great teams. But Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are on a whole nother level, Ahmed, and they took those lumps early. And just like we talk about Michael Jordan in the 80s, he had to lose a couple times to learn how to win. He had to get knocked out by the champs of the day. Josh Allen and the Bills just had to take this lump, man. And there was no way those teams deserved to be on the same field at the same time.
Here's the deal. And we're going to talk about it more in a second here. But after all you've said about these Chiefs, in the upcoming conversation, you are going to tell me and explain to me why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be able to beat this team that is on a completely different level. So I'm just saying, anything is possible.
I'll let you know. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how the Bucs going to get it done. But anyway, the Bills you're rocking with, Ahmed, the Bills that you chose, 0-2 versus the Chiefs this season, 15-2 versus all other teams in the NFL this season. So like I said, it's not a knock against the Bills. The Bills got it done. They grew. They took a step this season. Josh Allen definitely took a step this season. They're 4-2 in conference championship games since 1970, and they scored the first 9 points, Ahmed, and the last 9 points, but it did not matter. The veteran coaches, Ahmed, decision-making, like we told you guys, tied these two games together, and I think the veteran coaches made better decisions to put their teams in a position to win, and I think that was the difference in both of these games.
I completely agree. You saw all that experience and all that knowledge really came through in the big moments.
And ultimately, in scoring position, the teams that won scored touchdowns and the teams that lost kicked field goals. I mean, like some people say, how did you win the game? What's the difference in the game? The team that scores the most points wins the game. That's the bottom line. Stay tuned for a very special public service announcement.
So this week, I'm going to go with two numbers of the day. And my second number today is 30 million. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, more than 30 million people have died of HIV/AIDS worldwide since the epidemic began in the 1980s. Shouts out to the Florida Department of Health in America's most southern city, Key West, Florida, for contacting us here at Beyond the Numbers to let our listeners know that during Black History Month, February 7th of each year is a designated National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day.
So let's call this a public service announcement from Beyond the Numbers podcast to all of our listeners, regardless of your race, what part of the country you live in, or who you're pulling for in the Super Bowl. Know your HIV status, get tested, ask your medical provider about the medicines that can prevent HIV and can be obtained at no cost for people without health insurance. If we do all those three things, we can sack HIV/AIDS. So make sure to call your local health department for information on confidential testing or at-home test kits. So Amit, I said it before, Beyonders, I said it before, I have to say it again. These things don't happen that often. I'm just a kid from Tampa Bay, Florida, living my best sports life because we hosting the Super Bowl, y'all. And guess what? The Bucks are in it. Amit and I want to give you guys our Super Bowl preview, our Beyond the Numbers Super Bowl preview. And we'll start right now.
Yes, that's the best segue I've ever heard. And we'll start right now.
I don't want to take up too much time. You know what I'm saying?
We're good.
I got excited. No. I'm very excited.
Yeah, right to the point.
You know, the Super Bowl is taking place a stone's throw from my mom's house where I grew up. And I'm across the country and cannot be there for it. It's like killing me, man. It's horrible.
Well, let's look at the numbers of this matchup. Both conferences currently have 27 wins in the Super Bowl, despite the NFC winning 13 consecutive Super Bowls from 1985 to 1997. Since the year 2000, the AFC is 13-6 in the Super Bowl, with the Patriots, Steelers, and Ravens winning multiple Super Bowls during that span of time.
That number, 27. So this will break the tie. This is for NFC, AFC supremacy right now, because things are tied up at 27. And so let's dig in a little bit more into Super Bowl 55 taking place in Tampa Bay, Florida. So this is actually the first Super Bowl between the last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks taking place. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes won it last year. Thomas Brady won it 2 years ago. This is the largest age gap between Super Bowl quarterbacks in NFL history at 18 years and 45 days. That means Thomas could be Mahomes' dad. So you remember that segment, that MLB segment with Pedro Martinez? Who's your daddy? There you go right there. And the home stadium belongs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as I've shared with you guys. They will be the first team in Super Bowl history to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, but not their home area, Amit, because the LA Rams played Super Bowl 14 in the Rose Bowl in the LA area and lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the 49ers of San Francisco played in Stanford Stadium, obviously in this area, in 1984. And that Super Bowl, Joe Montana beat Dan Marino. So that's crazy. The Bucs will be the first team to actually host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. It's pretty amazing.
Did you just say the 49ers of San Francisco?
Yes.
Are you channeling your inner Akeem from Coming to America? The Giants of New York are playing the Packers of Green Bay?
Yes, yes, very much so. But also to let y'all know, they play in San Francisco and Stanford is in this area, in the Bay Area. So yeah, right. I did that. Right.
I like that. Looking at Brady and Mahomes, Brady has now won
6 Super Bowls. Mahomes has won 6 playoff games. Let's look at those numbers deeper. Brady has been in 18% of all Super Bowls ever, or as Telly stated earlier, 47.6% of Super Bowls since he entered the league.
Yeah, and this is actually the Bucks versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs versus the Bucks is running back a week 12 meeting between the two teams, a 27-24 Bucks loss, in which I mentioned on the podcast seemed to be a turnaround for the Bucks because they really came on in the second half, although that game was very lopsided in the first half, the Chiefs' direction. The Bucks allowed a season-high 543 yards to the Chiefs that week, but they have not lost a game since week 12, including the playoffs. So, Amit, like I said, I think I called the Bucks bottom during that game and the turnaround in the attitude and the play of that team.
Did Tyreek Hill have 203 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter of that game?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
All right, cool. Just checking. So asking for a friend.
This will be Thomas Brady's 3rd start in a Super Bowl. After turning 40, nobody has even done it once.
And Brady now leads all Bucks in all-time playoff touchdowns with 7 in his last 3 games. Of course, as you remember, Brad Johnson was the previous record holder from that Bucks 2002 championship run.
So the Chiefs are actually favored in this game by 3.5 points. Patrick Mahomes is seeking to become the 3rd player in NFL history to win back-to-back Super Bowl MVPs. He would join Bart Starr and Terry Bradshaw if he were to accomplish it. Brady and Mahomes head-to-head, Amit. They've played 4 games in their career. The record is 2-2. All 4 games have been decided by 7 points or fewer, and I'll take it a step further. We'll go beyond the numbers. Patrick Mahomes is winning 121 points to Tom Brady's 120 points. These guys couldn't be any closer in 4 matchups that they've played together. In week 12, Amit, the game I referred to, the Bucks against the Chiefs, Brady and Mahomes both passed for 340 yards or more, 3 passing touchdowns, and looked very good in that game.
Yeah, and when we look at Brady and Mahomes, they play that quarterback position very, very differently. So 23.3% of Patrick Mahomes' pass attempts this season have been on the run. So very mobile, moving around, 3rd highest in the league. While Tom Brady has attempted just 3.1% of his passes on the run, which is the lowest in the NFL. Makes sense, old man, not really looking to move around too much.
What I love about this matchup, Amit, and I'm taking my fan hat off and I'm just talking about it as an analyst right now, these are 2 old school coaches going at it. These are 2 player coaches having success towards the end of long careers. Andy Reid was in the league a long time, hadn't won a Super Bowl. The team rallied around him, won the Super Bowl for him last year. He's one of the most liked and beloved coaches in all of the NFL. I would argue B.A., Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, he has yet to win a Super Bowl. Andy Reid got the monkey off his back last year, and I think that the guys are going to push to get him his first this year. But I would love to see the coaching matchups here, because these guys showed you they're not afraid to roll the dice, they're not afraid to take chances, and that's the reason they beat the much younger coaches that they faced in the conference championships. Decision making and experience comes at a premium, and both these guys have it in spades.
Yeah, and I gotta throw in a fun Andy Reid fact. So Andy Reid's been to 3 Super Bowls as a head coach. All three of them have been played in the state of Florida. First one was in Jacksonville, Patriots Eagles. We remember that Super Bowl from 2005, where the Eagles just ran out of steam at the end. Miami, of course, last year, Chiefs 49ers. And this year, Tampa 2021.
Yeah, so let's talk about Super Bowl roster representation by college team, Amit. And first and foremost, my Florida Gators have 2 players represented in the Super Bowl. They both play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So actually the Bucks do not have any Florida Gators on the roster this season, although they have had them in the past. There's two Florida State Seminoles that hurt saying that out loud from me. You know, I'm a Gator. Two guys from Alabama represented. And what's crazy, three FAU alumni, Ahmed, three Florida Atlantic University players. So FAU beat out the SEC in the Super Bowl. FAU beat out Alabama in the Super Bowl. FAU beat out the Gators in representation in this Super Bowl.
And yeah, just as a word of note, that's just active members on the roster, not necessarily starters, but just guys that are on the roster. So still pretty cool to see that representation, that breakdown. Who would have thought FAU leading the way in this Super Bowl?
It's a lot of guys playing in front of their home crowd, man. Florida State, Florida Gators, Florida Atlantic. You know people asking for tickets now. Yep, you know that's true. People are asking for tickets.
Let's talk about money for just a second, because we talked about this in earlier episodes. Tom Brady's had some pretty interesting incentives coming through the postseason. He's already made $3.75 million in incentives over just the last three games. If the Bucs win the Super Bowl, he will make another $2.25 million. Just saying, he's got some money riding on this.
So the Bucs will be the ninth team to face three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in a postseason. And also, Ahmed, let me read you this list of teams that have three road wins to reach the Super Bowl and the result for each of those teams. In 1985, the Patriots had three road wins, reached the Super Bowl and lost. In 2005, the Steelers had three road postseason wins and won the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was also in Tampa. In 2007, your Giants had three road postseason wins and won the Super Bowl against Thomas and the perfect season. In 2010, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers won three road games to reach the Super Bowl. And in 2020, my Buccaneers went to play the Washington Red Tails in Washington, played the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, and beat the Green Bay Packers on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Question marks. Do we get it done this year and win? Keep the Super Bowl trophy at home where the game is being played. Keep it. Even the speech afterwards, you're not even gonna say we're bringing this home. It's like, we're keeping it right here. It will stay literally right here where we are standing now.
So before we leave you guys, we got to talk about who our takes are in this game, right? Telly's a perfect.
Last week, man, I'm feeling hot. 2-0 last week. Oh, and I can't believe you picked against the two guys last week. That's all right. We don't have to be diametrically opposed. You can join the winning team anytime you want to.
I know. I've told you that all baseball season. And you just refuse to do it.
So who you got? Tell me why. What are we talking about here? Because I'm going to give y'all my take, and I have reasons to this take. But I want to hear what you have to say.
Of course you do. My take, Kansas City. And I'll tell you what, this feels like a replay of the Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos Super Bowl.
It's on tape. Be careful what you say. We're recording.
That's fine. It feels like a replay of that. You've got an older but still very good quarterback coming in, and you got that young fire coming through. There's two, unless someone gets hurt, right? And we do have a right tackle injury, so the offensive line for Mahomes will be interesting.
Don't back away from the pick.
It's going to be fun. See,
he's building back doors into this pick.
If someone gets hurt, then anything can happen, right?
Okay. I agree. If but Mahomes gets hurt,
if Mahomes gets hurt, I don't think Henny time is possible is happening again. Chad Henney's not beating the Bucks, but with the roster they have, the talent they have, the fact that you have shared with us so many times that this Chiefs team is just on another level when it comes to playing football.
100%.
I think there's the potential for a blowout. And there's a potential for a blowout with the knowledge this team is going in knowing that Thomas has come back before from blowouts. So there will be no taking the foot off the gas.
There's no way that this game is a blowout. No way this game is a blowout. Let me tell you why. You have two explosive offenses, but I'm gonna tell you right now, this game is gonna come down to defense, and it's gonna play out like the game did last week against the Packers. But here's the reason I'm taking the Bucks, and this is not just because I'm a fan. This is the analysis I'm gonna give you. Week 12, the Chiefs whooped us up and down the field, okay? Remember, the Saints whooped us up and down the field twice until the playoffs. The Saints were plus 46 on the Bucs this season, and the Bucs found a way. They tightened the screws on defense, and I believe the same thing will happen here. And I think that Thomas's experience will come through. Remember, although this is Thomas's 10th Super Bowl appearance, and he's won six, that Bucs team is hungry. No one on the Bucs has even won a playoff game before he got there. Bruce Arians has that monkey on his back, Amit, and I'll tell you, last year Kansas City won because they wanted to get it for Andy Reid. Everybody loves Andy Reid as a head coach. Everyone around the league loves and respects Andy Reid. I've never heard anyone say anything negative about him, even opposing coaches. I think Bruce Arians is that same kind of guy. People love him. I think the Bucs did not have an offseason this season, and we talked about this a little bit. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had the last bye week in the NFL. They figured some things out, and the defense has been on fire ever since then. I think the defense comes through, and I'll even give you a score. I think this is 31-27 Tampa Bay Buccaneers win at home. I think that Kansas City may be a bit complacent. They won it last year, Amit, and the problem is they're a young team, right? And Patrick Mahomes really goes in with nothing to lose because he's won one, he's only 25, and the thinking could be, hey, we have next year. We're young. We'll get here again. We don't have any issues with the game, right? We beat these Bucks. We took it to these Bucks in the first half. They couldn't do anything against us. But if you watch that game, the Bucks started playing in the second half, and that game ended, I believe the score was 27-24. Although it wasn't that close, I think the Bucks are watching film. They got embarrassed by this team at home, and running it back, man, I just believe Todd Bowles has a defensive game plan to limit. You cannot stop these Chiefs. And don't get it twisted, I respect the heck out of the Chiefs. They are the best team in the league. But like you said, sir, any given Sunday, and I think the Bucks right now, they're coming in hot, man. They're coming in hot.
You're ready for me to come at you in 2 weeks and say, how could you pick the Bucks? How? Why? I can't believe
you can do it. You can do it. I stand by this take. We're recording Friday, January 29th. This episode will be published this Sunday, a week before the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, that is my belief, is that the Bucks will show up for this one. The defense is the key to this game. It's not going to be a shootout, I don't think. The defense is, which defense holds up, Amit? That's what it is. Look at the Packers game. Which defense held up? The Bucks need one game plan to win this one game. And the way they're coming into it, I think there's no way this game's a blowout. Either way, if the Chiefs win, if the Bucks, I don't think it's a blowout. My prediction is Bucks 31-27.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens. You have the Bucks winning a close one. I have the Chiefs blowing them out. It'll be fun. So let's wrap this thing up. We talked about Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, Florida, with a very, very unbiased telly from Tampa. I love Tampa telly, but I'm taking the Chiefs in this one pretty easily, my friend.
Long time listener, first time caller. This is Telly from Tampa. I like how you did that there. But yes, again, my prediction, 31-27 Bucks. Defense wins championships, and I think the Bucks might just want it more this season than the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs got their fill last year, man. It's been an easy road for them. So this has been a very special episode for us. It's almost a homecoming. Would you say, Amit, like a homecoming? Like we're coming back home, you know what I'm saying?
It's almost been a year, my friend.
Our first year doing the podcast. I grew up in Tampa. Amit lived a lot of years in Orlando. Getting a chance to cover the hometown Bucks in the Super Bowl taking place in Tampa is just special. I'm just imagining Amit at the end of the album when J. Cole's doing all the shout outs at the end of the Homecoming album. You know, we saw that in concert in Tampa. Yeah,
a day before the album dropped.
A day before his life changed, as he told us that night. And after hanging out with Elaine and getting that barbecue and everything. So shouts out to Elaine. Shouts out to Jenna Lane. You know, we spent a lot of time in Tampa, Gasparilla, Ybor City for stand-ups. We used to go with Matt.
Shout outs to Matt Ayotte, the Ageless Wonder, and MA Management.
And all the folks in Tampa helped us get to this point with the love and the sharing. And Elaine in Brooksville, owner of Carlisle's Meat Market and soon to be Brooksville Business Person of the Year 2021. All the time she fed us, Amit, that good food, that gator, good gator, and some chicken and barbecuing. And lastly, FPN, the Florida Players Network, an organization for the advancement of current and former Florida Gator football players. Shouts out to Daryl the Miracle Man Perry and Tony Jones, Pizza Bill, and the many other guys, the old heads as we call them, who support the young guys coming up. You can support the cause of the Leonard George and Willie Jackson Senior Scholarship Endowment being established by former football players for the purpose of honoring in perpetuity their legacy as trailblazers. Visit GatorBoosters.org. And a year into it, as we said, we are happy, we are proud, we are excited to bring you Beyond the Numbers podcast. Each week, we've done it big, Amit. We're trying to do it even bigger. So thank you for listening. We ask that you tell a friend to tell a friend, share, follow, and subscribe to us wherever you get your local podcasts.
Yeah, and if you get a chance and you're on Apple Podcasts, if you can write a review, that'd be great too.
Be sure to ask your friends, have you gone beyond the numbers in sports this week? Thank you for going beyond the numbers with us. We're a weekly podcast dedicated to going beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. We're available on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Whatever you're listening on now, please be sure to click the follow or subscribe button to get our latest content.
And remember, you can find us on Instagram, Beyond the Numbers Podcast, and on Twitter, at Beyond TN Podcast.
Until next time, peace.